with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. He then said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name in all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, let your face shine on us. That was the response for the psalm we prayed next to the high spring mayor, Harry, who led us in this refrain. We have to appreciate that we were singing our Lord in a beautiful line. "Lord, let your face shine on us." This is a longing for all of us. The human heart is longing to see the face of God. Lord, let your face shine on us. We have 50 days of Easter tide to experience the risen Lord's face to shine on us. Saint Luke, in his gospel passage, which was proclaimed to us by Deacon Henry today, helps us to understand how the risen Lord's face shone upon the disciples gathered in a room. "Lord, let your face shine on us." How the disciples experienced the light of the risen Lord's face shining upon them. It was a kind of an experience Saint Luke brings to us in details. So let us focus on three important details. First, the risen Lord, he was real. He stood in their midst. He did not just show up in the sky He did not stood away from them in that room. He did not somehow halfway hide in the wall. He stood in the middle. And Jesus became real. If you can define reality, this is reality in its maximum. Hyper reality. The one who was dead, crucified and died and buried, standing. The living God standing in their middle. Reality. And Saint Luke wants to let anybody who goes through his gospel that this is happening to anyone who gathers in his name in the prison door. It starts with a locus, a rule. Generation after generation, community after community, the risen Lord stands in the middle of those who gather in his name. And what does he do? That's what we want to examine. Three experiences. It's so good if we can go away to a kind of a journey through that gospel passage in a bifurcated way. Starting from the end, what happened at the end? Jesus opened the minds of his disciples, explaining to them the scriptures. So that's what the risen Lord did. He walked with them the scriptures. What scriptures we are talking here? We call the scripture what Jesus was referring, Old Testament. There was no New Testament for Jesus to explain to his Jewish disciples. So starting from the beginning to the end, the risen Lord, standing in the middle, explained and opened their minds to understand that him being sent into this world, him being dying, him being raised up, and him being now sending these disciples with a good news to share. And they came to understand that what they have been reading in the prophets, Moses, all the Psalms, everything was their story now become part of God's great story ever told. So their eyes became opened up, their minds became opened up. They now understand that what God's story they read now become part of their story become part of God's story. That's the power of the scripture. So think about that in the New Testament. From all the Gospels and Acts of Apostles to the last book of the New Testament, book of Revelation, everything all about Jesus. If we can ponder, if we can listen, open our ears Sunday after Sunday in this room, what happens? Our story needs to become part of his story. So that is the power of the living Word of God. St. Luke wants us to understand that Jesus becomes real when we listen, and when we ponder, and when we read the stories, the readings of the scripture. Before he opened the minds of the disciples for this journey through the scripture, what did Jesus do? Today's gospel. You know, remember what happened. What happened? Jesus told them, I am hungry. I am hungry. The risen Lord should not be hungry, but he showed himself to them hungry. And he asked, have you anything here to eat? and gave him one fish. From the big fish he ate, there was one big fish, and he ate the part of that fish. Saint Luke is very particular. He is helping us to look forward. What is this community will be doing, what we are doing now, gathering for the Eucharist. In Greek, the early Christians used the fish to identify Jesus. St. Luke is using a little play of words. The Jesus' name, the early Christians referred using the same Greek word used for fish. And Jesus ate the fish, and we gather with Jesus to eat a meal with him. That's what we call communion. Jesus takes our flesh and our blood, and we take his flesh and his blood. That becomes holy communion. St. Luke is bringing us into this experience so that Jesus, risen Lord, becomes real for us, no? In our communion, Jesus becomes real. In any sacrament encounter, especially in the Eucharist, Jesus becomes real. Before he ate that fish, what did Jesus do? In today's gospel, we are going way back. The Bible, he showed a bigger, beautiful grace. So Jesus showed his hands and his feet to them. Why should he show his hands and his feet? Because they thought he's a ghost. They are terrified. That's why he said, "Don't be afraid. You see, look at my hands, see the nail marks. Look at my feet, see my nail marks, see the wound." And then he invited them to touch the wounded body. The risen Lord, his wounds no more, is free of pain, okay? It's no more painful. It has become glorified wounds. But why should Jesus show his wounds? Why should he show himself as wounded? He is not only wounded, but also he said, "Is there anything for me to eat here?" That means he showed himself to be hungry also. He showed himself wounded, he showed himself hungry. What meaning we can get out of it? That's why I say, if Deacon Henry was preaching, he would say, "Let us go back to Church Fathers now." Church Fathers, like St. Augustine would say, what did St. Luke talks about the wounded body of Christ, the hungry body of Christ, the risen Christ refers to all the wounded brothers and sisters, the hungry brothers and sisters. And include almost all the humanity, because all the humanity, including our persecuted Christians from the way back to this time, to those who are part of our family members, our neighborhood members, our nation, our humanity, wounded and hungry, they become part of the risen Lord's body. And Jesus is asking every one of us, look, see, and touch. Touch the wounded, touch the hungry people. See the woundedness, look at them. And what happens in our blunder, sometimes we aggravate the wounds of Jesus. Jesus wants, the touch of God he wants from us is not to aggravate Jesus' wounds, but to help him to get a heal of those wounds by touching, by caring the hunger, caring the wounds of Jesus' body. So these three ways, the risen Lord becomes real for us. The risen Lord becomes real. Listening to the word of God, living word of God, pondering and understanding of meaning in that scripture passage, sharing the Eucharist, taking his body and word, and allowing him to take our body and our word in that holy communion, and then being sent out with a mandate to touch, to look the wounded body of our brothers and sisters who become part of Jesus' body, the glorified body, and feeding the hungry, sending us out with a mission. That's the way the risen Lord becomes real for us in our gathering, in our personal experience. That's the way the face of the risen Lord shining upon us. We can pray in a very personal way, Lord, let your face shine upon me. Let the Lord lift up, the risen Lord lift up his face to shine upon us, to bless us, to give us that peace, that shalom. May the risen Lord become real in his face.